Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to CMC Radio, everybody. This is your host, Rob May, and joining me today is Patricia Murphy. Patricia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So, Patricia, welcome back to the show. This is our second episode of a pretty lengthy series that we have here. And now, your story is kind of interesting, and what I like about it is the passion that you really bring to, I mean, life on a whole, but really building preservation and, you know, the things that I think a lot of people overlook or take for granted as to what makes something an interesting or really salvageable building. It's very interesting to hear you kind of tell us about, you know, what, why and how a building should sustain itself and really what makes it special. So before we get into anything else, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you're trying to do?
Okay, I graduated from Temple University with a master's in education. I got my bachelor's in Temple, too. And I've always been interested in artwork, and I do a lot of artwork. I've admired older buildings because they are works of art, you know, the classical features. And when I saw them being torn down, I was pretty hurt by seeing them destroyed because of the beauty of them. And being an artist, I've been interested in art since I was little growing up, and I grew up in a family of with seven siblings, so I was one of eight children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was always surrounded by beauty and art and architecture, and living in a city, I saw a lot of this, and my father was interested in it, too. So pretty much since I grew up around it, I really become to admire it, and it goes along with my artistic ability.
Absolutely, sure.
And I've often admired the history and looking into the past and how people lived in the past and how our country evolved, you know, as an industrial country, and all these buildings show the history of how our country evolved.
Right.
Like the factories, the homes, historic homes like Benjamin Franklin had and all these other people. So you can actually see and feel and experience by seeing the sites there, and if they were torn down, they wouldn't be there anymore. Just reading them in a book or seeing a picture of it isn't the same as actually being there and seeing it for yourself.
Absolutely, sure. And so what are some buildings that really strike you as historically just a necessity? You have to. There's no way that these should ever be taken down, changed, or anything like that. Do you have any, you know, top 10 of building structures like that?
Yeah, the Viscose Rayon and Silk Factory in Marcus Hook, Pennsylvania. It's a complex of three large buildings, and that has a very historical significance to it. These buildings are empty. They've been empty for the past 10 years or so, and we're working to save them and getting developers involved in taking over them and fixing them up for condominiums or other types of uses.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a great building in Philadelphia on Germantown Avenue. It used to be an old city hall building, and that's been empty for many years, and it's like kind of deteriorated looking. And there's some old prison buildings in New Jersey and other areas that are just empty. And we would like to save them, some old hospitals that have been closed up, some islands around the New York City area, like Rother Island, Hart Island. These have nice history to them and great-looking buildings. They're just sitting there unused with broken windows and all of them. I think these islands would become a great tourist attraction, just like the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island and Governor's Island have become. We could turn these into great places, too, and there's another one called Bernard's Island, and that's up in the Hudson Valley. And that used to be a great, great castle-type building. It's just a shell right now, and there's a group that wants to save that. So I'm getting groups together.
So what about these particular buildings, though, are you so interested in, or what about them historically? I mean, or is it just simply the fact that they are of historical value?
They're of historical value, and they have great craftsmanship in them, and the materials are very durable. They're built of stone and brick, and they're very strong, and because buildings back then were built to be strong and to stand up mm-hmm. to all kinds of weather and all, you can see the Roman buildings, they're still standing, at least partially standing, like in Rome and other places like that. After thousands of years, we can still look at them, and a lot of the buildings you're building now deteriorate and fall apart within a few years. Some of them, if they last 50 years, you're lucky. A lot of these buildings
sure.
you're putting up now.
So
the durability
about,
of these buildings
mm-hmm.
are worth looking at.
Sure, absolutely. And now, with people that want to demolish these buildings, I mean, really, what is, what's the driving force, do you think, at least behind that?
A lot of these developers, they just want to make money, and they don't feel it's cheaper to tear down than start from scratch rather than saving what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really concerned about history or preserving things for the future generations. All they care about is actually making money, a lot of them. I mean, there are some
right.
that do consider saving older buildings, and these are the ones I'm connecting with. But so many of them, they just feel it's not financially feasible to save a lot of these buildings, but they don't look at all the angles.
Right.
For one thing, you have a shell that's there already. You don't have to rebuild a whole new shell. You already have a shell.
Mm-hmm.
And they can just gut the interior of it and build the new building inside the old shell. So at least the shell is still there and it looks old. And I've seen that done. Or if they want to build a larger building, they can build on to the older one. And I've seen that done in Washington, D.C., a lot of examples where they've added on to older buildings and kept the old ones. So,
and go ahead.
Yeah, there's all kinds of angles that you can look at on how to save the building that's already there rather than just taking it all down and starting from scratch.
Absolutely. And I think that's probably part of the challenge, though, for you is really trying to make sure that these developers know about that, obviously. I mean, obviously they want to tear down, certain things for money, and they think that it's just easier to start from scratch. But really maybe informing them of this might help out the situation, too.
Yeah.
And so you, in the first episode, you discussed a little bit about your travels. Now, I know that you've been around the country and seen, obviously, different buildings and such. Now, how has that kind of inspired you to really go on this preservation crusade?
Because I've seen it all over the country. I've been in California. They tore down a great hotel about maybe 5-6 years ago called the Ambassador Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I went out there and I saw the hotel. And I think it was the city that tore it down because they felt the hotel had no use for it. And they built a school there, I heard, but they could have easily have put the school into that hotel and made the hotel into a school rather than knock it down and start from scratch. And a lot of people felt the same way. And that was one example. And I've seen buildings in Chicago where all they saved was the facade of the building and they built a whole new structure behind it. And I don't think that's really that great either because it's just the front of the building that they saved and the other part is totally new. And again, the newer buildings don't have the durability that the older ones have and the interior isn't as interesting either.
Absolutely. And so who are the core people that you work with? Is there a large amount of networking that you've had to do to really get, to build up the system here, the voice for saving these buildings?
Yeah, I've contacted National Trust for Historic Preservation. I'm a forum member with them. So my nonprofit is connected to the National Trust for Historic Preservation. Once a year, they have a big event where everybody goes out, like a convention where everybody goes out and they network and talk about things that are going on in their cities and their states and all that. So we exchange ideas, talk to different developers and different people, other groups who want to save buildings. And my whole idea is to actually network all these people together. And that's one of the purposes of my nonprofit, to network all these people together. And I would like to create a networking tool. And this is one of the purposes of my website, is to create a networking tool to all these people so they can exchange ideas and with developers and all these other people. And another thing is to create the foundation as well. And so we can actually buy buildings ourselves and fix them up if they're sitting there empty.
And this is a good way. I mean, obviously, the more people that you have involved, the more awareness that you can kind of create.
Yeah. And I'm in with local groups, too, various local groups. So I have relationships with a few developers who are interested in in fixing up the buildings. And community groups in my neighborhood and in Philadelphia and other places. I work with local communities and small developers that want to fix these places up. So I do have various groups I'm working with.
Sure.
And
you're based out of the city here, right?
Yeah, New York City, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually in the Bronx.
That's certainly the hub of culture and historical value, certainly, I would say, bringing all the different lifestyles into one area, and I'm sure the buildings themselves, have their own character.
Oh, yeah, they do, and new buildings don't have that type of character. They don't have the architectural details, the classic features, and that's art itself, looking at the moldings, carvings, and all the work that they put into these older buildings. And today, most of the buildings are just put up and don't think about how they look or anything. They're just totally functional.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not appealing to the eye like the older buildings are. The aesthetics.
And so I'm curious to know about your favorite buildings within New York City since you're there. What are some of your go-to buildings?
What's that?
What are some of your favorite structures in the city?
I like the museums, like the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the Museum of Natural History. I like the Woolworth Building. And some of a lot of the old churches are really, like St. John the Divine is a great church.
Uh-huh.
So there's many of them that I really like.
Sure.
And I like the ones in Staten Island, too. Like, there's some old hospitals in Staten Island that have closed up. Bailey Seton Hospital is one of the buildings I would like to see saved. And that hospital recently closed in the last couple of years. Bailey Seton Hospital. And we're looking to get groups together to occupy that building. That has about 6 nice buildings on it and some cottages along the front that could be made into offices. And Bailey Seton Hospital has a lot of nice Art Deco features that are really attractive.
And for all of those just joining us, I'm with Patricia Murphy, and the topic is building preservation and really making sure that there is a voice out there to preserve and protect this historical value that some of these buildings, I mean, obviously there's a lot that goes into it, and I'm sure, Patricia, way more about it than I do. But what can people do to get involved with preserving, any structure that they see or, getting in touch with you? I mean, what are some of the best ways to help? How can they get involved?
If people see a building in their neighborhood that's empty and has been empty for a long time, or they find out that a building is about to be demolished or a building is up for sale, they can contact the city council or the township and their area, speak to what's happening with these buildings, let the public know, contact local newspapers, mm-hmm. the local news media, and actually talk about these on the television or on the network so people can see them and get aware. And they can contact me, too, and using my website when I get my website all fixed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on the website right now so they can interact with that website and
absolutely
and post the buildings on there. And we can work with them on to what they're doing, what actions to take that they want to save these buildings and what kind of uses they can see in them.
Patricia, who are the most influential people, at least in your experience, as far as getting your voice heard, that would be willing to help?
I think the news media is a good way, getting the news media involved, contacting the news people, the television news people, the newspaper editors. Any type of news media is good, and bring them out there and let them know about it. Get involved in their community centers and their political places, like senators and people like that, city council, and let them know that they want to save these buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And just get a whole group involved to put blogs on the internet.
Absolutely.
Letting them know what's happening, especially things about their neighborhood and their city or town, that they should put blogs on there about these buildings and how they want to save them and get people involved. So that's a good way. And this is the reason I'd like to get my website out there, is so people can see it and get extra help doing it.
Sure. And now let's moving on to that. So in terms of how you are trying to raise, the funds to really keep your organization, to get it into the next phase, really, where, you can actually sustain the work that you're doing and really focus on exactly what it is that you love to do. So I know that you do a couple of different things to kind of, build the business up. So why don't you share with us a little bit about, some of the businesses that you're associated with?
Well, I have 5 different businesses that are basically cash machines,
mm-hmm.
and they generate income to support the foundation, to bring money into the foundation and to support the nonprofit. And these are pretty much networking internet businesses. A couple of them sell healthcare, like health coverage. Murphy
mm-hmm.
Benefits is one that sells health coverage. Because a lot of people don't have dental insurance, even though they have regular insurance, they have no dental
right.
insurance. So this covers that, because going to a dentist, you have to pay even $100 just to have your teeth looked at.
Oh, yeah.
And if they want to do work on them, it's going to cost a few hundred. So
absolutely.
By getting involved with the Murphy Benefits, they can just get insurance. All they have to do is pay a low copay and a low monthly rate. And that's one of the things I do. They also have health insurance. They have pet care. Like if you have a pet that you want to take to a veterinarian, they have ways of saving on the cost of veterinary care. And they also provide home insurance and car insurance.
Oh, wow.
So
Murphy, this is Murphy's Benefits then. Now, this is a website that or a business that you're associated with. So people can directly contact you.
Yeah, they can directly contact me. The name of the company is James Turner Insurance.
Okay.
And I work with James Turner Insurance. And my website for that business is murphybenefits.weebly.com. But they can go into jamesturnerinsurance.com first to see what it's all about and what they provide,
mm-hmm.
jamesturnerinsurance.com, to get all the information. Then they would go into my website after that, go into www.murphybenefits.weebly.com, and it shows you how to fill out the page and things like that and how to contact
Absolutely.
Me.
That's great. And, I mean, and obviously, you know, that's a great service that you're providing for people that, you know, that don't have dental or I mean, obviously there's more to it than just dental insurance. But what makes it interesting to me is that, you know, you are really, your reach, you're trying to help people in all these different ways. And, I mean, obviously, you know, you have a good heart and trying to preserve buildings that people, you know, that aren't so appealing to everyone's eye if they're abandoned or if they have broken windows or they've been there for a long time and no one's doing anything with them. It's incredible, though, to hear that you extend it to your own, you know, personal ways of trying to finance your vision here. So why don't you go on and share a couple of the other businesses that you have.
Okay, and the other ones are online businesses. They create passive income and residual income, and they're great for building a retirement fund. If anybody loses their job or they're looking for extra income, this is a good way of creating it. And this is long-lasting. It'll last indefinitely. And they can pay off their debts with it, their mortgage, student loans, anything they have. And this money will be coming years to come. They'll have this income. And it will increase over time. So it's like, you know, just having a great retirement fund. And this is one of the things I'd like to reach out to is people who are looking to create this type of income where they can pay off their mortgage, where they have no job, or they lost their job recently. They can go. This is a great way of helping these people. And I would like them to be able to be empowered by all this, what I'm doing.
But so what is this business about? How can people make money off of this?
These are businesses that if somebody has a business or they're networking tools for promoting a business, they sell products to promote a business. If anybody else has something they want to sell or promote, they should have promotional tools.
Mm-hmm.
Splash pages, networking tools. They also have autoresponders and social interactions. So each business is kind of similar in that way, but they all have their own thing too, and they all interact with each other. One is called Cyber Ingresso. Cybernetico is the name of one business, Ingresso Cybernetico. One's Crazy Cash Club, and one is $5 Funnel. And all of these are businesses that people support each other.
Okay.
And they help supporting each other. So pretty much everybody helps one another with these businesses, and when they get involved in it, they can find that they're financially secure. And, you know, in a couple of years, they can be financially secure with these businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And one business by itself can create a good substantial income for people over time.
Wow, yeah. Now, how long have you been associated with these businesses?
I just started about 6 months ago in each one.
Mm-hmm.
The one I was in longest was Shackley. That's another business I'm doing. And Shackley they have products that they sell, health care products, vitamins, weight loss products, you know, with guidelines. Like if somebody wants to lose weight, they have a weight loss program you can follow with their own shakes, protein shakes, smoothies, all these different things. They're very all-natural vitamins. They also sell household items like detergent, things to clean your windows with, floors, laundry. All of these are environmentally friendly and are green products, so they're safe around pets and safe for the environment. And that's one of the things that it appeals to people because it's very green and environmentally friendly. So they're not... They don't have all these chemicals in them that a lot of these household things have, or even vitamins and stuff. They don't have all this artificial stuff that could be harmful. So that's why a lot of people like Shackley. And they can go on the website. The website is smartu.myshakley.com. And Shakley is spelled S-H-A-K-L-E-E. And the website is www.smartu.myshakley.com. And it shows you how the compensation plan works and how you can support each other. And pretty much these are things that people are using anyway.
Right.
So you buy this, you buy the Shakley brand products, you're getting paid for these things that you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than going to a store like a Walgreens or someplace like that, or a supermarket, and buying these household products that could have chemicals in them and things like that, they can buy from Shakley and get paid for it. And by buying these products and selling them, they supporting each other too. So they create a team, and what we're doing is creating a team around this.
Right.
And all of these businesses is basically a team of people working together. So that's a good part about it too, because you get to know each other. You get friend, you know, good way of making friends too, because you're
Absolutely.
Interacting with each other, and so
sure.
It's a good social way.
And now, Patricia, what would you say is the most? I don't want to sound the wrong way here, but if you had one business that you said was the most profitable, or you know, the easiest to work with, which one would you say?
I think Shakley is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Shakley is. You talk to people, and you know, people that like talking to people and interacting. They like to be with groups. They can tell them about the product, you know, tell them what they use.
Right.
And just mention it to them that this is what they like doing and how it's good for the environment. You know, people that lose weight, they could tell them how they lost the weight. And this would get people interested in knowing more about Shakley, because they could see the benefits that people are getting from it. How the, you know, if somebody loses weight and they ask them, how do you lose the weight? And they tell them, well, I was using Shakley. They have these protein shakes and this weight loss program that you can follow, and it's a good way of losing weight mm-hmm. and keeping it off.
All right, that's great. And as we're winding down on this episode, Patricia, you know, what are some of the things that you want people to know about the preservation side of what your hopes are for the next couple of years, or what your plans are?
I would like to have more people make an effort to maintain buildings, for one. You know, rather than having a building fall apart, people should maintain them. And the roof starts to leak, then they fix the roof rather than leave it leaking, you know, until it gets worse, you know, because a lot of people neglect things. And that's one, is to maintain buildings and fix things as soon as they break. And another thing is to raise money for the foundation so we can give grants. You know, this is why I was talking about these businesses I have, because of the cash machines, to create a foundation where I can give grants to people that need work done. Like if somebody can't afford to replace a roof or a window, I can give them a grant to redo that. And that's the purpose of this foundation, that people can fix their buildings up that don't have the money. Like a lot of churches, that they need a new roof, they mm-hmm. need the money to put the roof on, but they don't have mm-hmm. it. So I can give them a grant where they can put a roof on their building. And this is the whole purpose of why I'm in these businesses, to create the cash flow for the foundation to build it up. So when I give money out, more money is coming into the foundation from these cash machines. It's something that's
Definitely.
Generating, you know. But this is one thing, is to maintain buildings and fix things rather. So because
Sure.
so many buildings, something goes wrong with it, and then they wait until it gets worse. Instead of fixing it, they wait until it gets worse, and then people say they don't have the money to do it, so they're
right.
trying to raise funds to do it. So that's
of
what
course.
One of the, what I would like to help them with.
Perfect. Well, unfortunately, Patricia, we are running out of time for this episode, but I'm glad to say that we do have you coming back in 2 weeks.
Yes.
And we'll reconvene there, and we're going to start talking about new topics and figuring out, you know, different ways that people can really get involved. And we want to make sure that everybody knows about this. So, again, we will see you in 2 weeks for Patricia and for everybody here at CMC Radio. This is Rob May saying we'll see you soon. Thanks again, Patricia.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks for listening.
Take care.
Okay, thanks.